our teenagers after the service. That's for kids that went to camp or didn't go to camp. We don't want to exclude anybody. In our service tonight, our young people are going to have a great part in the Sunday night service. So we want you to come back and bring your children get in on a little bit. We're going to try to bring a little bit of camp back here tonight. Now, we can't bring it all. Some of you couldn't take it. You just couldn't take it. We had too much fun. And you'd have to get jump started, or we'd have to take the paddles to you or something 5 minutes into the service. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time. We're going to try to bring some of our camp back to our Sunday evening service tonight. I'm going to be speaking, and the kids are going to be doing the music, and we'll sing a lot of the songs that we sang at camp. And I know you'll have a good time. And then afterwards, we should be done with church about 7 o'clock. We're going to have a pizza party for our kids. Plan A is to meet in the pavilion. By the way, it's a pizza party for our kids, for the teenagers. Let me say that again. That's a pizza party for the teenagers. Teenagers. That's the teenagers. So if you're not sure how old you are, look at your driver's license. We're not buying pizza for the whole church. We can't do that tonight, but for our teenagers. But what you could do is you could bring your kids tonight, bring them to church, and then you and your wife and can go down to the ridge and go to Friendly's or someplace and get some ice cream. Come back at 8 o'clock. We'll be done, and they'll be able to go home. But we're going to kind of wrap camp up tonight here in our evening service, and we would like all of the other kids. Maybe they couldn't go to camp for whatever reason. Some of our kids were on vacation with their parents, and some other kids went to other camps this summer, which is great. But we want all of our kids to be able to get a little bit of camp tonight. So we hope that we can do that. Happy Five Soccer. There's one sad thing, and there'll probably be more as the year goes on, but let me share this with you. You can open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, but let me share with you a sad thing about Happy Five Soccer. This year, that program has become known all over this community. We've got a lot of good press, and the right kind of press. The best advertising for anything is a satisfied customer. That's the best advertising you could get. This year, we turned away 125 kids from our program. We don't have a waiting list. We said no to 75 families that showed up for registration, walked in the door. They said, "We're here to sign our kid up for Happy Five." And we said, "I'm sorry, we're full. We don't have any more space for you." Now, resources is always a problem. We only have so many acres of property back here, although we're in the process of doing something about that. We've purchased 60 acres down the street here, and we won't be limited in the soccer field sizes at that point. But we're limited by people, and one of our goals this year was to make sure that we had enough people so that we could do an exemplary job with every child that came into our program. And we've got the people, but we could have had some more people. And we would have needed, you figure, 8 kids per coach, an assistant coach into that. We probably could have used 40 more people in the program, and we could have brought that other 125 kids in. We could have worked that in. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. These are people that came to First Bible Baptist Church. They knocked on our door and they said, "We'd like to be part of what you're doing." Now, do you know why we have a soccer ministry or the things that we do here? It's to get to know people. It's to build a relationship with people so that ultimately we can tell them the gospel story of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Our goal is to reach them with God's word. We use soccer or any other of our kids' ministries, Awana, Sunday school, all of them are vehicles to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Happy Five is. We're not out there just trying to entertain kids, kick a ball around when we're all done. Go home now. We kicked the ball around for an hour and a half. Didn't you have a good time? That's not what the purpose is. The purpose is to reach people with the gospel. Now, you may have an aversion to going to people's doors and knocking on them and saying, I'm here to introduce you to Jesus Christ. You may not like that. That does happen. Probably more often than not. People don't like to answer their doors. People don't like to invite people in. People don't like us bothering them at mealtime. Occasionally, yes. And the people who work in our bus ministry have good success at that. But more and more, as time goes on, people are becoming reclusive. They're paranoid. They're afraid to go to their door. And they don't want you to interrupt their private time. So we've been able to have them come knock on our door. We don't have to go to their door. We say, why don't you come and be part of what we're doing? And then we have 9 weeks to impact those families. Do you remember when you were a kid? Do you remember when the coach wanted to talk to your mom and dad? Do you remember how your mom and dad responded to the coach? They like to talk to the coach. Our coaches have an open door into the lives of the families that come into those athletic ministry programs because they get to know them. In fact, you as a coach, I would bet, and I'm not a betting man, but I would bet, if I was a betting man, that you could get into 7 out of 8 of the homes of the kids that you coach in that soccer program. In fact, I might be willing to go a step further and say 8 out of 8. If you wanted to go to that home, you could make an appointment and go in and sit down and talk to that family and get to know them on a personal basis there, when it might be very difficult for you just to knock randomly on their door and get in. We're giving our people an opportunity to have a ministry. Our coaches and assistant coaches and the workers will have an opportunity to minister to 8 families. And probably 5 of those 8 families are families that have never attended this church, and probably most of them are not Christians. What a great opportunity. But this year we had to say no to 125 kids and 75 families. Can I say this to you right now? I don't ever want to say no to anybody ever again. I don't ever want to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you. When someone comes and says, we want to be part of your church, I don't want ever again to have to say no. I want you to think about that. Where can you touch the life of somebody else so that you can tell them what happened to you in trusting Christ as your Savior? Everybody can't work in a soccer ministry or baseball ministry or sing in the choir, but everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. And I believe that God has gifted everybody in this room with something that can be used to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, you don't have to be a soccer pro to be in our ministry. A lot of our workers don't know anything about soccer, but they're assistant coaches. But they love kids. They'll give them a hug. They'll give them some directions to do this, that. They'll keep things under control. And that's all we need in our assistant coaches. We've got people in coaching and instructional positions that know what they're doing. And they run the show. We just need people who'll be there and say, I want to be a blessing to somebody's kids. This past week at youth camp, I don't think I went to bed any night before midnight. But I'm going to tell you this. Every night when I laid down in my bed, and I was physically tired and maybe a couple nights totally exhausted, I laid down in my bed and I thought to myself, what a wonderful way to burn up your life. What a wonderful way to use the time, the resources, talents, whatever you have. What a wonderful way to spend my life. How are you spending your life? Where are you using your energies? You like your job? You like the things you do in life? You ought to find something in life that honors God. You can put your head down in the pillow and say, boy, it's good to burn myself out for Jesus. We ought to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then it says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's a warning there that says, excuse my voice. If you did what I did, you wouldn't be talking well either. 16 hours of water skiing instruction this week. That's just part. 11 sermons and about 45 hours of singing. That's what's been going on through this week. I have no pleasure in them. The day is going to come in your life when life is going to be the pits. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because when you're young, you have all kinds of potential, you have all kinds of talent, you have all kinds of resources, you certainly have time. Remember now before those evil days come when you'll say, I don't have any pleasure in this. I don't like life. I don't like the responsibilities of parenting and paying bills, and I don't like the fact that I got to go to the doctor 3 times a week. I don't like being on dialysis. I don't like the fact that I can't do what I used to do because I just don't have the strength in my legs anymore, and I just can't. I mean, I got to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, I don't like that. Those days are coming for all of us. And the warning Solomon says is, you better do what you can do right now in your youth. And by the way, we are all at this very moment, this is a coincidence, but we are all at this very moment as young as we're going to be. No one in here is getting younger. Tomorrow, if you live till tomorrow, you'll be older than you are today. Life is going by very quickly. And I'm sure this is true of every generation, and maybe more so because of the pace of life in the 1990s, that it just seems like the older you get, it just seems like the days, the weeks, the months, they just fly by. And every year, I can't believe it. I can't believe the summer's almost over. Pretty soon we'll be saying, I can't believe the Christmas celebration's going on. You'll be saying, I can't believe the 1997 is gone. It just seems like it started. And the older you are, the more pressing that will feel. I just feel like that year's gone. See, we're never going to be any younger than we are right now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened or the clouds return after the rain. Those are the good days of your life, verse 2. And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Your arms, your legs. They start getting weak, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders, your teeth, cease, because they are few, or they are fake. That's what the Living Bible says. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Your eyesight begins to dim, and the doors shall be shut in. You'll be a shut-in. The days are coming when some of you will be a shut-in. You won't go out anymore. You won't have the opportunity to work with kids. You won't have the opportunity to sing in a choir. You won't be able to do those things. You'll be a shut-in. Boy, it's nice to lay down and go, oh, man, I'm exhausted. Oh. Boy, but it sure was a good day. What a way to use my time. To be a blessing to kids, to see the kids smile, to tell them about Jesus, tired, but happy. Tired, but happy. How do you go to bed at night? Tired and miserable? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Why? Because your hearing is going. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, because you can't hear. Also when they shall be afraid, you're paranoid of that which is high. Heights and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree, which blossoms are white, when your almond tree begins to turn white. My almond tree is turning white up here. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Oh, look at that grasshopper. Ooh, I can't pick that grasshopper up. I mean, when a grasshopper's tough to lift, you know what I'm talking about? getting a little older and you can't do what you used to do. That's what Solomon's talking about here. And he says, and desire shall fail. What a terrible thing to look at an adult who has no desire to do anything anymore. Sit around, watch television. Sit around and just do nothing. Be a couch potato and vegetate and waste your life away on nothingness. Sitting there watching TV, waiting to die. Well, I hope I get through the fall series of this program before I kick the bucket. Sitting around waiting to die. He says there in verse number 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. You say, what's all that? I'm not exactly sure, but let me give you my interpretation. I think he's saying, you're not going to like the day when it comes when all your assorted body parts disintegrate. Someday the wheels are going to come off. You're just going to fall apart. Oh, my shoulder is killing me. Oh, my hip is saying, oh, it's terrible. Oh, my feet. Oh, my feet. I got to get some Dr. Scholl's or something for these things. Oh, the day's coming. The day's coming. Bless God, you're in church this morning. You can get up out of bed. You can go to church. What a blessing. What are you using your life for? You're burning out. Your flame is flickering and it's going out. How are you using your life? How are you using your resources? How are you using your time? Remember now, he says. What does remember mean? Remember the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Remember. The Bible says after Hannah prayed and she prayed so that she'd have a baby boy. She wanted a baby so bad and she prays. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says that the Lord remembered her. Now, do you think the Lord was up in heaven? He was kind of taking a snoozing on. Hannah! I remember her! And he went back to sleep. Is that what remember means? How about the thief on the cross? He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You think Jesus went into his kingdom and he's there? Oh, the thief! Is that what remember means? Uh-uh. That's not what remember means. Remember means to act decisively on behalf of someone else. When the Lord remembered Hannah, she conceived a baby. When the Lord remembered that thief on the cross, he was ushered into paradise with Jesus himself. And when the Bible says, remember him in the days of thy youth, it means you, as an individual, act decisively on the behalf of God. Make a decision to do something for God with your life. Don't waste your life. Don't burn out for nothing. If you're going to use your energy, your strength, your talents, give it to God and burn out for him. That's why you can lay down at night and say, oh man, what a way to die. What a way to burn myself out. What a way to spend my life so that somebody else can profit and someone else can prosper. Remember, he says, now, right now. As I said, you'll never be any younger than you are today. Psalms 90 says that we are to teach. It says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. You're going to get about 27,000 days if you live 75 years, approximately. Please don't split hairs with me. That's approximate. You get your count. Oh, sorry. Let me see. No, he's wrong. No, but you're going to get about 27,000 days in your life. You know what day it is? You know what time it is? I can tell you this. About 18,500 of them are gone for me. I don't know that I'll get 27,000. I don't know that I'll live to tomorrow. Proverbs 27 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know that I'm going to get 27,000. But if I do, 18,500 of them are past already. You only get so many days. You only have so much time. Remember, he says, now. Don't procrastinate. There's a story, if you'll join me, in Luke chapter 9. It's just a little parable, a little statement, really, that Jesus makes. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Because you're not going to like it. But he says this. I just want to blame him. He says in verse number 5, I'm taking this coat off. I soaked it in the first service, and I might as well take care of that right now. 9 verse 57 says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me, or allow me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Now you think about that for a moment. That's a pretty strong statement. Excuse me, Jesus, I'd like to, but my father died and I need to go bury him. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Is Jesus being insensitive? Is Jesus being crude? Coarse? What's the problem there? What's he saying? He's saying this. There is absolutely nothing more important in your life than to follow me. He's not saying be insensitive. He's not saying be disrespectful. He's making a point, and he's saying that the most important thing in life is following me. He said that. Does he have any influence in your life? Do you believe that? Will you accept that? In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Too many of us are worried about becoming fishers of men than allowing the Lord to make us fishers of men. The problem is, we must follow Him to be made fishers of men. We need to have His priorities as our priorities in our life. We cannot make it up as we go along and do whatever we want to do here, there. And we can't shop God's will like we shop a buffet line at a wedding reception. We walk down the buffet line and we go, huh? Oh, the beans. Oh, I like beans. We put some beans on our plate. Broccoli. I don't like broccoli, especially steamed broccoli. I don't like that. Oh, German potato salad. I like German potato salad. That's good. And, oh, that potato salad. I normally like potato salad, but it's got egg and celery in it. I ain't going to take any of that. And we go through this thing. We pick a few things out. You can't shop God's will like that. Some of us go down through God's will and we pick out what we like. And we leave what we don't. You can't do that. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I know we're all busy. I know you're busy. I know some of you have more responsibility than I do, and a lot more responsibility. But God has given all of us 24 hours a day. We might sit there and say, boy, I'd like to give more money, but you know, I just don't have it. Okay, I can live with that. We all don't have the same amount of money. But we all have the same amount of time. And you may not be able to give a whole lot financially to help, but everybody gets 24 hours in every day that they live. Scrappy scrapers get 24 hours a day. Busy brushers get 24 hours a day. People that visit bus routes and bus kids and drive buses on Sunday, they get 24 hours a day. People who work in discipleship ministries and youth ministries and Awana ministries and Sunday school ministries and music ministries, they all get 24 hours a day. People who work in the security ministry, people who work in the nurseries, people who work in daycares and preschools and North Star Christian Academy and whatever it is, we all get 24 hours a day. Jesus didn't say, come follow me if you got the time. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. All of us. Everybody. We're not all as smart as one another. We all don't have as much money as one another. We all don't have the same people in our lives that we influence. But everybody gets 24 hours a day. Everybody. By the way, you're the one ultimately that makes the choice is how you're going to spend your time. You make the choice. Remember now. Why should we remember now? Listen, we got a community right here. Do you know that If you took all of the kids in America 5 to 18 years of age, that there would be over 50 million people that fit in that category. Do you realize in the town of Greece alone, if you took all the people that live in this town 5 to 18 years of age, that you'd be talking about 20,000 kids in Greece? You all don't live in Greece. Some of you live in Spencerport. Let me see a hand if you live in Spencerport. Put them up. Look at the people who live in Spencerport. How many of you live in the town of Hilton? Put your hand up in the air. I know most of you don't want to admit that, but no, I'm just kidding. You live in Hilton. Some of you live in Chi-Lai. Who lives in Chi-Lai or Chile? Is that what you... Look at all the people. I'm surprised how many people live in Chi-Lai that are here. How many of you live... What else is around here? Rochester. Rochester's right here. Look at all the people. These are people from the city of Rochester. How many of you live in the town of Greece? Raise your hand. Probably the majority of you. But we're from all over. If you put Rochester and Hilton and Spencerport and Gates and Chi-Lai and Pittsburgh and all these up... You put it all together. How many kids are there here? Lots. I saw a couple hands go. I must hit something there along the way. $50 million kids. We need to reach young people. Man, I had a good time at camp. Kids are responsive. By the time we left that camp, Bob, I think, and I can't read every heart, neither can you, by the time we left that camp, we had 130 kids going the same direction. No disciplinary problems. No people bucking the system. No people fighting us saying, I ain't going to do this. Now, we all didn't start there. We all had our problems, you know. We went there, I don't have my teddy bear, you know. You know, some of us, the refrigerator's right next to the bed, you know, and you can reach out and whatever you want. We had to make some concessions to go to camp and do without some of our conveniences. But by the time Tuesday morning rolled around, people were getting acclimated, and this group of people became one big happy family. And I watched those kids. They responded. They responded. We need to love young people. By the way, for every child, there's at least one adult parent. Wait. There's two adult parents. Now that I think of it, if I remember my biology lesson right, isn't it male and female, right, Bob? For every child, there's at least two parents out there that can be reached. I'm a parent. I have five children. You know what? I'm worried about my children. I'm concerned about my children. There are a lot of things out there in the world that want to destroy my kids. I don't want my kids to be destroyed. And I want you to know I want all the help I can get. Will you help me raise my children? Will you help me love my kids? Will you give my kids good advice if one of them comes to you because they don't feel like they can come to me? Will you do that? Will you? I'm counting on you. You know what? We're all counting on one another. I'll tell you what, when you show care and concern for young people, parents get interested. I watched yesterday as all these little tykes are out there running around kicking the ball, and parents everywhere. I'm looking around. I don't recognize any of these people. Who are these people? They're people who are interested in their children, and they're looking for somebody to help them with their kids, and I really don't even care what their motives are. Some of them are coming in here and they're saying, oh, my son's going to be an Olympic soccer player, a professional soccer player, make $1 million. I don't care. If that's their motive, fine. I don't think that's most of their motives, though. I think most of them are looking for some good, clean, honest program where somebody cares for their kids and the kids are going to learn something and profit from it. We've got it. We have the program. And we're going to help those kids and teach them some good values, some biblical truths. And by the way, yesterday, you know what I did? I told the parents that's what we're going to do. So if anyone wants to get out, help yourself. We got 125 kids ready to take your place. We're going to teach your children biblical values while they're here. I didn't see anybody go, oh, it's not for me. No one left the grandstands. Mike, did you see anybody leave? They all sat there. No one took their kid and walked off, stomping their way through the parking lot. Let's get in this car. We're not going to have any values for our kids. I didn't see anybody like that. They all stayed. All the teams were full. And we went to work. Started loving them. building a relationship with their children, building a relationship with their parents, so we can tell them why we do what we do, so we can tell them what's important in our lives. Remember, that is, act decisively on behalf of God. Remember now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, thy Creator. There isn't a parent in here that doesn't understand what I'm about to say. You may love kids, but there's a special and there's a unique love and affection for your child. I could sit and read the newspaper this morning and I could read a statement that says, boy, 8 years old, struck by an automobile, downtown Rochester, was killed. You know what happens to me? I go, oh, I hate to see that happen. But I get over it in about 20, 30 seconds. That was my 8-year-old boy. I don't think I'd read that and get over that in 20 or 30 seconds. Oh, I have some feelings and some emotion. I hate to see anybody go through difficult times. So do you. However, I don't have the same feelings and emotions for your children that I have for my own children. If I lose one of my children, or one of my children is hurt, I may never get over that the rest of my life. I may be able to go on and I may be able to do what I have to do, but I'm never going to forget that feeling, that love, that emotion, and that void that was created by the loss of that child or the hurt that child had to endure at that time in life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's something about when it's your child. Now listen to me. When God looks down at every person in this town, when He looks at kids and adults in Hilton and Spencerport and Greece and Rochester and Churchville and Gates and Chilai, when He looks at kids and adults, He has the same kind of love and affection that you as a parent have for your own children. You and I don't understand and comprehend the love of God and how God loves people. How insensitive of you to make light of the death or the hurt of somebody else's child. How insensitive to read there the newspaper, this 8-year-old boy struck by a car and go, isn't that funny? I wonder if he had his head knocked off. You say, oh, Pastor, how can you say that? Only for effect. You say, oh, that's terrible. How could you think that? Well, how do you think God feels when you and I make light of the people in this community that need God and need Jesus as Savior, and we blow it off as though, so what? Do you understand how God feels? Do you understand the compassion and the love of God? He gave Jesus for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this community, in this world. And when we take that lightly, when we make fun of that, when we disregard our responsibility, it hurts Him. No one else going to do the job. God's people are supposed to do the job. God's people are supposed to do the job. Don't count on any politicians aren't going to do it. They got a job to do, but they're not going to do what we're supposed to do. The teachers out in public education out there, they got a job to do, but that's not their job. It's our job. In the book of Jonah, and I think the book of Jonah is the book that's about the most selfish man in all the world. When he went down to Nineveh and 120,000 souls were converted by his preaching, Jonah chapter 4 verse 1 says, it displeased Jonah. You say what? That those people changed their mind and repented. He was mad. He's upset. He just preached the greatest revival in all of the Bible and he was mad that they turned from their wickedness and obeyed God. And he was mad. 5 verses later, is Jonah sitting out looking over that city, hoping that the judgment of God will fall on those people, contrary to what God has said. The Bible says it was a hot day, and Jonah was there in the heat of the day, and the sun was beating down on him. And God grew up a gourd, a plant, a big leafy plant, so it would serve as an umbrella over Jonah's head, so he wouldn't get sunstroke, so he wouldn't get hot. And it says in verse 6, it says that the gourd pleased Jonah. Oh, I like my gourd. I like my air conditioning. I love my shade. What a contrast! It displeased him that people got saved. It displeased him that people got converted to God. It displeased him that people repented of their sin and turned to righteousness. But I'll tell you what he liked. He likes air conditioning. He likes microwave ovens. He likes Lexus. He likes Rolex. He likes designer jeans and Nike. I like all the comforts. I like a $1,200 waterbed. Ooh, 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 does this feel good? I like it. What a testimony for God's people. We love our creature comforts. Oh, don't ask me to do anything, preacher. That'll inconvenience me. I may have to step out of my comfort zone. I might get perspiration on my brow. I might get my clothes dirty. This might make me uncomfortable. Poor baby. Poor baby. I feel so sorry for you. That we would be inconvenienced to reach people with the gospel. Oh, it's tough. It's Jonah. The heart of Jonah. The wickedness and the selfishness of Jonah. He liked things that made him feel good. But he didn't want to be inconvenienced to help anybody else. It displeased him. Do you understand the personal application of that to you? I have a nice bed at home. Been living there for about 14 years now. I like it. When we went to camp, and I've been to camp, I did not know what I was going to sleep on. You know what? Although in the back of my mind there's a little fear. Am I going to get a hot shower this week? What time am I going to get to bed? I went, and so did 39 other adults in this church. They went to give of themselves to be inconvenienced for the benefit of somebody else. And let me tell you something. It was one of the best investments they've ever made in their life. One of the best investments. These people running around out here on the soccer field, people running up and down the streets trying to get kids to come on our buses, people working in our Sunday school classes in our Awana and with our youth, people who go into the nurseries and inconvenience themselves and get baby puke on them and smell like diaper doo-doo when they come out of there. Oh, God forbid! They do it because there's an overall mission and purpose in mind to serve God and to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not be afraid of being inconvenienced and uncomfortable. Let's not be afraid to get out of our comfort zone and do something for God. It's good. It builds character. It builds integrity. And what an example it is for our kids to see that. Some of the best counselors at our camp this week were your children who have grown up through our church and our youth ministry and now are freshmen, sophomores in college. And they came this week and they said, I don't know what I'm doing, but use me any way you can. And they were great counselors. The kids loved them and they fellowshipped with them. And those kids helped us steer the six kids that each of them had in the right direction. So when we marched out of camp yesterday morning, spiritually speaking, we were all going in the same direction. Kids are responsive. Kids have parents. Kids energize churches. Kids are our future. These kids that went to camp, your children, some of the children that are in here this morning, you are the future leaders, and some of you are already leaders in this church. We must invest ourselves in our young people. We must give to them. We must inconvenience ourselves. We need to step out of our comfort zone, whether it's financially or personally, or whether it's ministerially, and give to them to build them so that when you and when I lay down one of these days and your heart just ain't beating like it used to, and you lay down and you go, ah, what a way to live my life.
there's not a whole lot of energy left here. If I'm lucky, I got about 2 hours to live. But I'll tell you what, I've lived it. I've given it for the Lord and to somebody else. What a way to go. What a way to go. Verse 7, and I'm done. Verse 7, Ecclesiastes. I don't even know what chapter you're in, but I'm in chapter 12, Ecclesiastes. Then shall the dust return to the earth. Maggot food. Blow your air conditioner on your maggot food. You say, what are you talking about? That's your body. The worms already are working. You ever wonder when you put somebody in a casket and seal it up, how do the worms get in there? Let me tell you how. They get in there with you when you get in there. Pastor, this is Sunday morning church. Folks, this is worm food. This is a vehicle. My first car was a 55 Chevrolet. I left it in a dump in Amsterdam, New York in 1965, I think. I left it there. I don't know what became of it. This is my vehicle. It's going to be left in a dump somewhere. Someday. Riverside, out here on the ridge, up by Fetzner Road, they're going to put it there. But, the Bible says in verse 7, it says, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. When I was a kid, just a couple years ago, maybe a couple days ago now that I think of it, when I was a kid, I hated final examinations. I hated final exams. I didn't like it. Any kid that likes finals, there's something wrong with them. I did not like final exams. I didn't like it because I knew what was going to happen at final exams. I don't know about you where you went to school, but you know what they did? They took us out of our classrooms and they put us in the gymnasium or the cafeteria. And they lined up the chairs and they got about 300 kids taking finals. And scattered all around the gym, up in the corners, there were machine gun nests with teachers up there. Binoculars, looking to see that everybody was minding their P's and Q's. There was no cheating going on. And I knew that when I walked in the door of that gymnasium with my pad, my pencil, whatever they instructed me to bring, that today was judgment day. I knew I couldn't fake it any longer. I knew that when they put that piece of paper or papers in front of me and they asked me to fill in the blanks or answer those questions, that I was going to be found out for what I really was. Listen, final exam's coming. And one of these days, you're going to have to look in the mirror of the judgment seat of Christ, and you and I are going to find out what we really are. Not what we want other people to think we are. Not the image that we attempt to project to our friends. But we're going to be face to face with the cold, hard facts of who and what we are. Your body will go into the ground awaiting the resurrection. But you, the person, we'll go back to God and it will be revealed to you and me what we really are. Remember now, right now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're not getting any younger, sister. You're no spring chicken, buddy. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before those evil days come, when you say and I say, I have no pleasure in them. Life's a pits. I'm sick. I can't get out of my chair. I got to go to the doctors today. I got to take about $300 worth of pills a week just to keep going. I've got to do this. I got to put my Depends on. I've got to... You know what I'm talking about? You're going to go, this is the pits. Hey, while you don't have to wear that stuff, while you don't have to do that stuff, while you got two legs and two eyes and two ears and you got two hands and you can go to work for God. Final exams are coming. Some of us aren't going to like what we get on the test. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I think I got a little bit of my voice left here, and I pray that you will use it today and tomorrow and for the rest of my life to glorify you. Lord, what a way to get tired. What a good reason to get tired and worn out. To see the smiles on the faces of young people, to see the tears come down their cheeks of repentance and reconciliation. What a blessing to be there, to see them do things that maybe they've never done in their life for the first time, and to see the excitement there. What a blessing to see little five-year-old boys and girls running around, kicking a ball, and knowing that you're building a relationship where you can have an influence in their life. Lord, thank you for giving me something and giving all of us something to do with our lives to minister that others might profit. God, help us to give. We spoke of our finances last week from chapter 11. Today in chapter 12, help us to give of ourselves, our very beings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me, please, if you would. I'm excited! I'm excited! I had a great time at camp. We got some of the greatest kids in the whole world. We got some of the greatest people that have poured their lives in. I'm excited about it. Why don't you come and get on the team? Find something to do. We got a Christmas program coming up. There's posters all over. See a poster on the door? Read it! There's an opportunity for you to have an impact on somebody else's life. Get involved! Get involved in the choir. Get involved with our young people. Get the Awana program in the fall. Get involved in something and give yourself back to somebody else. Invest. So, I'm afraid I don't know what I can do. There's all kinds of good people who will help you and instruct you. By the way, you probably know a whole lot more than you think you do. You probably got a lot more talent and potential and ability than you think you do. Let's use it. Let's use it for good. So we can all lay down someday with a smile on our face, breathe our last breath and say, what a wonderful way to die. Boy, I gave my life for some good stuff. Larry's going to lead us 496. If you want to join us in your hymnal, they're all scattered about. Would you join us and get on our team? Before we sing, though, allow me to say this. It may be that you're here today and you're not a Christian. And I mean that in the biblical sense. I know that may seem a little ambiguous to you. When I say the biblical sense, I mean you cannot go back to a time or a place or a set of circumstances in your life when you put your faith and your trust only, solely, completely in Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith alone. And you called upon Him to save you and you repented of your sins. That is, you saw sin as God sees and you said, Lord, I want to forsake that. I want to live for you. And you had a change of heart and attitude towards that sin and called upon Him. Can you go back to a time, place, a set of circumstances when you did that? Do you know that if you died right now, that you'd go to heaven? I can say if you can't identify with either of those two statements, that you probably aren't a Christian. Not according to the Bible. You may think you are because you went to a church. You know, you don't become a Christian by going to church any more than you become a car by standing in the garage. Well, I'm a car. I'm in the garage. No. That's not how you become a car. I don't even want to be a car, to be honest with you, right now. But you don't become a Christian just by going to church. You become a Christian by you accepting Christ as your Savior. That's how you do it. Amen. If you're not saved here this morning, I'm going to stand right here in the front, and I'll be more than glad to help you understand what that means. And help you find Christ as your Savior as we sing. Larry, lead us, would you? Come this morning. Maybe you want to invest your life. Maybe you need to give more of yourself. This is the time to come and pray and talk to God. Seek God's will in your life. Do what God wants you to do with your life.
And trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Would you help me? Let me just see what we're dealing with as a group here this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'll be done right after this. Here's the question. Pastor, I know I could do something. I realize that. I'm not even sure what my gifts or my talents are. In fact, I'm not really sure I'm gifted or talented at all. But maybe some of you would say you are. But Pastor, I know that I need to do something. I need to be involved in ministering to somebody else. I get ministered to all the time. People have helped me. God has helped me. And it's time that I give something back to Him. Some time that somebody else might profit. If you're here this morning, you say, that's me. I know I need to do something. I don't know what to do right now, but I want you to know, Pastor, I know I need to do something, and I want God to know that, and I'm willing to do something. If God will show me specifically what that will be. Would you slip your hand up in the air right now and hold it there? Wow. 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 I'll bet you there's 175 to 100 hands in the air. Wow. What a team. What a team. You can put your hands down. What a team. My goodness. Father, I am so thankful for these people who have been honest with You and with me this morning. Lord, people who have talents, resources that can be and need to be, and Lord, that You want to use for Your ministry. God, I pray that You would help them, motivate them, encourage them. Help them to step outside of their comfort zone, if that's what it takes, to find a place where they can be included in the team, the ministry team of First Bible Baptist Church. God, encourage them. Help them to lay aside their fears or any preconceived ideas that would discourage them in any way. And God, be strong and act strong on their behalf. Father, help them to remember You right now in the days of their youth. None of us are getting any younger. May we all lay our heads down in our coffin pillow. May we do that with the assurance, with the comfort, with the satisfaction that we've lived a life and we've invested our lives in others for You. And we pray these things, and I specifically pray for these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anyone else wants to come, maybe it's for salvation. If you want to be saved, you want to be a Christian, you don't know what that means, or you don't understand that you can come as Larry leads us. 75 people raised their hands here and said, yeah, I'm interested, and I want God to help me. If you'd like to come and pray, we'll just take one more verse. I'm not going to come to you. I want you to come and just pray by yourself and solidify the decision or just the fact that you put your hand up in the air this morning. Do that, if you would, as Larry leads us, and we'll be done after this verse of invitation. Would you come? Anyone else come right now, please?
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
many of you helped buy a torpedo for camp. We took an offering on a Wednesday night. We got about over $1,100, and I think the cost of the torpedo was like within 15 bucks of what that offering was. So we bought the torpedo and we took it to camp this week. I wish I could share with you the smiles, the laughs, and the good times our kid had on that torpedo. It's a 5-man torpedo, and they got behind a boat with a V8 engine, man, and whoa, they were launched. And man, they had fun. Whoa, bouncing up and down. They had a great time. Wonderful time. Thank you for helping our kids have a good time at camp. Thank you for your care and your consideration. I want you to know that it was worth it. I promise you that. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Tonight our service will be for our young people. I hope you'll come back. For all of our teenagers, whether you went to camp or not, that doesn't matter. We're going to feed you. You're going to have pizza coming out your ears by the time we're done tonight. We're going to have a good time. Please, Mom and Dad, if you'll bring them back, come to church, get a piece of youth camp, and I think we'll be able to help. We'll try to keep it calm for you so you don't get hurt too much in our service. Bob, speaking of being hurt, Bob, let Bob do it. Bob Bredo, he's a good guy. You should have seen him standing on the pews clapping his hands at camp. We've converted him. I think Bob became full of the Holy Ghost this week. I really do.
That's true.
It was exciting, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes.
Had a good time. Go ahead, buddy.
All right. Yep, I lost my tie, and I got the Holy Ghost. And it was fun. All right. You know, I had a chance to hear our pastor preach about 11 times this week and twice today, and he just has a heart, doesn't he? What a blessing. And you know, that's why we're here, because of his vision. And I just hope that we all get on board, like he said. Ushers, if you'd come forward, we want to welcome our guests. If this is the first time you've been in one of our church services, would you do us a favor and just slip your hand up and let these fellows find you? We have a guest information packet for you. Tell us to tell you more about us, our pastors, our ministries. And within that info packet, you'll find a guest registration card, if you'd be so kind to fill that out. And when the offering plate passes you by, if you would just slip that in there, we'd appreciate that. I have several prayer requests. The first one is for Lynn Klass. She is the sister of Ann Warnick, and she has been diagnosed recently with cancer. And Ann asked if we would pray for her. And she is saved, praise the Lord. But she's the mother of two teenagers, so she's asking for wisdom and decisions. Her name is Lynn Klass, if you would pray for her. Also, Dan Demarest's mom, Phyllis, had emergency surgery yesterday at Strong. They had removed a large tumor that was wrapped around her spinal cord. The family's asking for prayer because they're going to be doing more tests to determine the extent of the cancer, and they're going to see about treatment. She is praised, but she is saved, but please pray for her, Phyllis Demarest. Also, a blessing, a rose on the organ, in honor of Trudy Lynn Shull, newborn daughter of Stephen Lori Shull, 6 pounds, 11 ounces, 19 and 1 quarter inches long, which we praise the Lord for. Also, we have some announcements regarding the Solid Rock singles. The first one is for the single parent and over 30 singles picnic in Naples. It'll be on August 23rd. There will be fishing and swimming and shopping and volleyball and hiking, food and fellowship. And as I said earlier, I'm going to come and do a dance for them now that I have the Holy Ghost. But a bus will be available for you if you need a ride. But please sign up at the activity window. Today is the last day for sign-ups. Take note of that. Also on August 30th, there's a singles bonfire, swimming and volleyball picnic. It's the end of the summer party, so if you're interested, also go to the activity window. And then on September 19th and 20th, there's a singles overnighter at Niagara Falls. For more information, again, the activity window.